Welcome to Off Script with Dan Dwyer on Robinhood Radio, featuring in-depth interviews with guests from the world of theater and allied arts. Underwriting support from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare, collectible, and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th-century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. And now, here's the host of Off Script, Dan Dwyer.
Welcome back to Off Script. I'm your host, Dan Dwyer, and it's been a while since we've done a live program. I apologize for that, but we are back in the swing of summer of 21 post-pandemic, cross our fingers, and I'm delighted that my first guests back on Off Script are Barbara Fasano and Eric Comstock, the husband and wife, the spousal pair of the Barbara Fasano Trio, who are internationally known jazz singer and piano man, who are also artist residents in Birdland, frequently appearing all over Manhattan in clubs and jazz cabarets and such, also festivals around the country. And before the pandemic, actually at a place called Pizza Express in the Chelsea part of London. They will be coming back, which they were before the pandemic a couple of years ago, to Music Mountain as part of its summer schedule for one performance only on Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock on July 17th. So, welcome, Eric, and welcome, Barbara. Great to have you on.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's so great to be with you.
When was the last time you were up at Music Mountain?
Well, right before the pandemic, you know, they had their regular music season in 2019, and I was there, I believe it was the end of July, or it might have been August, actually, in 2019, part of their Twilight Jazz series. And I'm thrilled to be going back in just a couple of weeks on July 17. They were able to put their schedule together and get the season up and running, and they invited me to come back with Eric Comstock, who, as you said, is my husband and a superb pianist and singer, and we work a lot together. So we're thrilled to be going up there together with our wonderful bass player, Boots Mallison, on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, July 17.
And for people, as I understand it, I went to the Music Mountain website, who are concerned about protocols in the post-pandemic status. It's both open air and inside. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, it's fantastic the way they've set it up with people's comfort level in mind. So the beautiful venue is called Gordon Hall, and I have to say it is one of the most wonderfully acoustic spaces I've ever sung in. It's just beautiful. You can come to the concert inside Gordon Hall, or they have beautiful grounds outside, and they're going to project the whole concert on a huge screen. So you can come, there are picnic tables, you can bring lunch, you can sit outside and watch the concert on the screen. They'll have it beautifully set up with wonderful sound. And then a third option is if you really can't get out, but you don't want to miss us, you can stream it from the comfort of your own home. So there are three ways that you can actually join us for this concert on July 17th.
Terrific. Eric, without getting into all the details of how we reconnected, I remember seeing you perform 25 years ago at a private party here in Litchfield County in Connecticut. And I've seen come across some of your presence on social media since then, but we reconnected just recently. But when I saw you so many years ago, you were performing solo. So how long have you been performing with Barbara?
That's a fun thing. Yes, it's great to reconnect, and I'm afraid that's true. 25 years in, I believe it was New Hartford where we met. And I was a solo performer for many, many years, and Barbara and I married 17 years ago this summer. And we had our individual careers going, and no intention necessarily of doing more than, you know, an occasional duet at a party or something. But about a year into our marriage, we had two very nice offers to come, you know, go work on the road together. One was at a glorious hotel in Palm Beach called The Colony, and one was at a beautiful theater in St. Louis called The Sheldon. And well, we couldn't resist that, and we had our fingers crossed. Would we be able to, you know, get along in that in that kind of relationship, and happily we have. So we've been working a lot together since then. And as you mentioned, we have been doing a series on social media every week of this pandemic called 72 and Song, which can be seen on social media, but also on our YouTube channel, Eric Comstock and Barbara Visano. So it didn't have to work out, but it has really beautifully. And, I will humbly say that we bring out the best in one another. I know it's true from my point of view. I'm a much better artist because of Barbara.
Barbara, you agree with that?
Well, I'm over here blushing. What can I say, Dan? I married the right man. He's so generous. As Eric said, it happened quite accidentally, which, the best things in life are kind of accidents. If you believe that accidents even exist, I actually don't think there are accidents. It was certainly meant to be. But yeah, we have a great deal of fun together working, and it's great when you're married to someone who shares your passion, and the music is constantly flowing. We're up at 3 o'clock in the morning with ideas for arrangements, and use that chord here or put that song in this spot in the set, and it's really wonderful. We have our arguments too, which keeps the spice in it all. And sometimes we of course work separately also. Eric has different musicians who he works with, and I've recorded with some other wonderful musicians. So we mix it up, but it's a beautiful gift. And what we're bringing to Music Mountain on July 17 is kind of a mix of all of our influences. The show is called The Songbook, from Sinatra to Sondheim to Sting.
I was going to ask you, if you've been performing and playing and singing together for 17 years, you must have a pretty vast repertoire, and how do you get it into a program that's going to be presumably an hour and a half or so, for a single performance at Music Mountain?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and I think, every artist, I think you have to come from your gut, mostly. And yes, we have an enormous repertoire. I mean, Eric, as is one of those people who knows every song, every writer, and, what was on the ham sandwich he was eating when he wrote it. He's very complete in his knowledge of the songbook. I have a greater love maybe for some of the singer-songwriter material. So over these years, we've done a lot of mashing up of those kinds of genres. But I think when you have a concert, you just really think about what's going on in your life, what's going on in the world. It affects the choices. Right now, just the idea of being able to sing live for people, there's such a joy to that. So I think the songs that we're going to do in this set will certainly reflect our love of New York City, where we live. There's a beautiful song called I Cannot Hear This City from the musical Sweet Smell of Success. That will be in the set. There's a Count Basie song called Broadway that we love. That'll be in the set. There's some Sinatra material, Witchcraft and How Little We Know. That'll be in the set. I love Joni Mitchell. We'll do some Joni Mitchell. We'll do some Sting material. But I think I like to always mix it up. I do believe that the songbook is ever growing. And so it's the music from the 30s, but then it's also some of the best singer-songwriter material from the 60s and the 70s, and all done with a certain jazz influence, and again, really speaking to where we all are right now, just this desire to connect again and to be together. That's going to affect many of the choices that go into the set.
Great. In case you're just joining us and tuning in to Robin Hood Radio, the program is Off Script. I'm your host, Dan Dwyer. My guest today, Barbara Fasano and Eric Comstock. Barbara's a song stylist, and Eric Comstock is pianist, and they have a trio called the Barbara Fasano Trio that's going to be performing for one concert Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Music Mountain on Saturday, July 17. Talking about your repertoire and the kinds of artists and composers that you present, can you two agree at least on the top five American songwriters? Or could you agree on who is the best of your top five American songwriters?
I think we are in a court, of course, as Barbara alluded. Barbara has been more embracing of more recent, the singer-songwriter era. I'm a little slower to that, although I've been enormously influenced by her. But I think we can certainly agree on the pantheon of the classic era, and it's actually represented in our recordings, because Barbara has an all Harold Arlen CD called Written in the Stars, which has won a lot of awards. And, of course, Harold Arlen is best known for The Wizard of Oz, but a lot of other great, great songs. And then I have an all Rodgers and Hart collection called All Hart. My favorite of the Broadway writers would have to be Rodgers and Hart. But I think we would agree that Cole Porter would be on that list. I mean, such a genius who wrote words and music equally brilliantly. And Irving Berlin and George and Ira Gershwin. And, I think the pantheon is, we wouldn't fight with the experts who've told us that the top five, the Mount Rushmore plus one, would have
right.
to be those five people.
So let me ask you the question this way, which is, when we talk about different kinds of composers or lyricists, a lot of singers say that sometimes, Sondheim, for example, is very difficult to sing. So I guess the question to you, Barbara, is who's really difficult to vocally interpret of the major American songwriters? And the question to Eric is, who's the most difficult of the American great songwriters to arrange for?
Well, the interesting thing, Dan, is that the writers, that pantheon that Eric just mentioned, those writers are so good, and they write songs to be sung, and they are not difficult to sing because the songs are written so expertly. The melody goes where you want it to go. The story goes where you want it to go. And so the joy of interpreting that material is just getting deep, deep, deep into it so that you can tell the story from a point of view that feels fresh and current, even if you are doing a song that's 40 years old or 50 years old or more. But they're not difficult songs to sing in any kind of a technical aspect. I mean, as a vocalist, it's not as if you're a pop singer and you're trying to tackle Only a Bambino or something like that. It's not. They're actually beautifully constructed. And when you learn them, at least I find, they tuck into you,
All right.
It's like, something very comfortable.
All right, well, let me ask a little wise-ass question, and I'm not a professional. I'm a total amateur. Having said all that, and I understand that you bring a technical acumen and skill to all of it, but the difference between interpreting a song like Lush Life and Yankee Doodle Dandy.
And what?
Yankee Doodle Dandy.
I mean, there's a difference between interpreting Lush Life and Yankee Doodle Dandy. I mean...
Yes, but if you stop to think about it, there's a rhythm to Yankee Doodle Dandy, right?
Yeah.
And how are you going to play with that rhythm? Now, there's a challenge. You think maybe Lush Life is a little tricky because the melody goes to some unexpected places, and
right.
maybe that's true, but once you learn it, it's not so difficult. And then when you're singing Yankee Doodle Dandy, if you don't have a great sense of swing and rhythm and you don't choose the right kind of a tempo, it can die a death,
Yeah.
So I think
okay.
I think every song, every one of these songs has its challenges and has its its easy road.
Now, and Eric, from an arranging point of view, is there any composer that which is more malleable from an arrangement point of view, or is more open to compositional arrangement than others?
I think the pantheon we discussed earlier, they're among the easiest, and it's funny because the cliche used to be that Jerome Kern was so wedded to operetta and an older style that how could you play around with his material? Well, of course, the most beloved song of jazz musicians is All the Things You Are, so he finds a way, and John Coltrane managed to do it with Rodgers and Hammerstein with My Favorite Things. So, great musicians will find a way, as Barbara said, to change the feel. And Miles Davis with Surrey with the Fringe on Top, which one would think, what could you do to Surrey with the Fringe on Top? But I would say Cole Porter is more difficult than some of them because he has these little tricks where he changes even if the form is, you know, an A section followed by an A section, he will change one note in the second A section so that it's a little, people make mistakes because they are slightly different. He just had those little sneaky things. And I would say of the modern writers, Stephen Sondheim, as brilliant as he is, and again, right up there with Cole Porter as a composer and lyricist, he, you know, and a lot of the more modern theater writers aren't really interested in writing songs for saloon singers, which right. we consider ourselves, and so you have to pick very carefully. A song that I will probably do at Music Mountain is a sexy little number from A Little Night Music called Remember, and that's one that was actually an ensemble number, but I found a way to shrink it down so that it can be a solo for me, and it's full of innuendo, and it's very sexy and fun, and that's a case where you can wrestle Mr. Sondheim to the ground. It's very hard with many of his other songs.
If you really want to do something a little racy from A Little Night Music, what about Dragging Out? And I think this song was written for it, but not used. I Never Do Anything Twice.
Oh, yes. That is.
Remember that one?
Yes.
That one has a lot of topics in it, though, that I think would be regarded as very politically incorrect these days.
I remember, well, yes. It was Barbara actually started a production of Side by Side by Sondheim some years ago, and she got to sing it. I think it was originally intended for a movie called The 7% Solution, but it may well be. But it may have been written for the other one, too. Oh, and, of course, our dear friend and idol, Julie Wilson, did the definitive version of that wonderful song.
Yeah, no, that is a sleeper out there. We've talked about the pantheon, the greats, the masters of the American songbook. What about some of the composers that you believe have been overlooked that you try to, you know, reintroduce in some of your concerts?
Well, we're big fans of Harry Warren, and a lot of people know his songs, but sometimes don't know his name. They don't realize that it's Harry Warren. I think he kind of wrote more hits than anybody. So we love to push Harry Warren's material, and of course, you know, he's a paisan, Salvatore Guadagna. So I love to claim him as my own from Brooklyn. And another, we were very good friends with a wonderful songwriter, Lou Spence, who wrote Nice and Easy, the Sinatra Made Famous. And he has a great book of material, lots of wonderful songs that people don't know. So we try to do some of those songs. John Wallowich, who was a New Yorker, and another dear friend of ours who wrote some beautiful songs, one that was recorded by Shirley Horn called Come a Little Closer. And he's also got a great book of material. We do stuff of his. And Murray Grand, who was a very good friend of Eric's.
He composed the standard Guess Who I Saw Today, but he has a whole lot of other songs. So these are underdogs that we believe in. Many people fall in love with the material even if the name doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, and of course we're always on the lookout for new songs. So, you know, we have a community here in New York and a lot of wonderful writers. And so every now and then we'll stumble on something that we fall in love with by a writer who's writing right now, and we'll put that into our set.
In case you're just joining us, the program is Off Script. I'm your host, Dan Dwyer. My guests today are Barbara Cano and Eric Comstock. They are the songsters and pianist of the Barbara Fasano Trio that will be appearing at Music Mountain for one concert only, on Saturday afternoon, July 17th, 3:00. What do you think? Do you think clubs, cabarets, music festivals, do you think it's all going to come back as strong as it was before the pandemic, or do you think the pandemic has changed the kinds of ways that, you know, in the places that you'll be performing in the future?
Well, that's an excellent question. Of course, for years, decades, people referred to the theater as the fabulous invalid, but I think we know that at least commercial theater is going nowhere, and it's going to take a while to open up fully, but it'll be successful again. I think nightclubs are kind of a fabulous invalid, and I'm sure that Barbara and I and our colleagues will be doing virtual things forever, probably, that people have become accustomed to that kind of thing, and of course people will be hesitant about going out right away, and that's perfectly understandable. Another reason Music Mountain is offering the concert as a streaming event. But I just feel that, as Barbara mentioned earlier, the need for connection will be even greater now. And I think people, I imagine we're going to have some new folks come into the fold because they've been isolated, and they will want to come into a small room and hear stories being told, songs they know, a couple of songs they don't know. But this genius American art form of the great popular song of all eras, I think people are going to find it for the first time, and I can't help but be optimistic.
Good. You guys have such a deep knowledge of the tradition that you're a vital part of today, and the clubs in New York. Can you tell us a little bit about when was the heyday of the nightclub with the jazz pianist and the singer in Manhattan? Was it the 20s, 30s, 50s?
Well, there's a wonderful book by a friend of ours that I can recommend to you and your listeners, and it's called Intimate Nights by James Gavin, G-A-V-I-N, and it's a terrific summation of what he regarded as the heyday, which if you had to pick one decade, it would be the 50s, when you would have great nightclubs. They weren't always beautiful to see in the daytime, but they became magical at night because they were small, and it was the singer against the piano, and usually, often, that is all, or maybe a trio. And it was also a time when variety shows were in their heyday, and in New York, and someone like a Barbara Streisand, or a Phyllis Diller, or Dick Cavett, could be plucked, you know, out of some little room and put on television and made into quite a star. So that would have to have been the heyday, and it's a fascinating story. That isn't so common anymore, but it is still, you know, a thriving part of it's what makes New York unique. And, you know, there are a couple of other cities in this country where there's somewhat of that theme, certainly San Francisco. But it's kind of a New York homegrown art form, and we love being a part of it.
Now we have TikTok.
Yes, we haven't resorted to TikTok as yet.
Well, it might not be conducive to your genre, but, you know, don't sell it short. In speaking of social media, though, for anybody who wants to get a sampling of how talented my guests are today, go to the Barbara Fasano Facebook page, and you two guys do a wonderful duet of perfect for this time of year, the Sammy Kahn song.
Oh, yes, the things we did last summer. Right.
That was
our offering, I believe, last week. You know, as Eric said, we've been streaming music since the very first week of the pandemic. So now we have done 63 episodes of 72 in song. So you can find them on our Facebook pages. You can find the link to them on our websites. You can find them on our YouTube channel. And it's been a lifeline for us to be able to send music out every week.
Right. To wrap up, we talked a lot about song composition and the lyrics to songs and how that can be interpreted both at the piano and by voice. To name one or a handful, just to close the program, what do you think is about the near perfect song? Whether it's a popular one or not.
Well, I'm sure we'll have two different answers. That's a great question, and it's a hard question. I would have to say it's actually a song that Barbara and I have in common. She recorded it, and then I recorded it, and then, now we do it as a duet sometimes. And I guess just for sheer romance, the first song that comes to my mind is called "A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square," which is from a show we did in London and we've done around the country called Downton Abbey Road, forgive the title, which is Great Songs of Great Britain. Sheer romance, I would put that right up there. It's gorgeous to listen to. It's a great lyric, and it's just got a wonderful aura.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. And, you know, my favorite composer is Harold Arlen, so I would have to go with for the classic Harold Arlen song and say that I think one of the most perfect songs written was one for my baby and one more for the road. I just think in terms of an emotional impact and just the marriage of the lyric and the music, to me that is a perfect story.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that Harold Arlen is your favorite composer, because I have an amateur point of view on this, but he is mine too, and my favorite of his is The Man Man Who Got Away.
My God, sure.
Every time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I'd like to conclude the show, because I'm getting a little bit of goosebumps here, Eric, because you mentioned the Nightingale sang in Berkeley Square, and I remember you performing that on the porch of our mutual friend who introduced us 25 years ago, and specifically, and please correct me if I'm wrong, she asked you to play it because I think it was her husband's favorite song, and she had really, really cherished memories of meeting him, I think, during World War II.
Yes, she had an English husband who I never met, but yes, she was one of the great Anglophiles.
Yes.
So she was always interested in something that was from the UK. So that's so perfect. What a perfect bookend.
Thank you for you performing it anyway. This is the show. I can't wait to see you again, literally, on July 17th, 3 o'clock at Music Mountain. And Barbara and Eric, this has been a really delightful conversation, and thank you for being my guest to re-inaugurate Off Script after a hiatus because of the pandemic. This has been really good. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's been such a pleasure to talk and have something to look forward to promote. So thank you for all of your help with that.
You're welcome, and thank you all for listening. The program again, Off Script with Dan Dwyer. If you've liked this show, please go to robinhoodradio.com, and on the support link, please express your appreciation. We are listener supported. Until the next time, be well, stay well, and enjoy the summer.
Underwriting support for Off Script with Dan Dwyer from John and Kate Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare, collectible, and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th-century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. Off Script with Dan Dwyer is also available via podcast on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand, and then click on Off Script with Dan Dwyer.